You are tuned in to Hogbeat Radio. I am the Hogbeat.com publisher, Mason Choate, joined by Hogbeat managing editor, Riley McFerrin. And it is game week for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Football season is here. It's week zero as we record this. So we got football this Saturday, not Arkansas football, but literally a week from today, Thursday, August 22nd, we have Arkansas football. Now it's Arkansas versus UAPB. So it's nothing to get super excited about. The game's also at War Memorial Stadium. So also nothing to get too excited about, but it's football. It's Arkansas football. We finally get to see this team live, Riley, and we're going to get some questions answered. So we're going to answer some questions here on the show as well. We're going to talk about our projected depth chart. We're going to go through our season predictions. We've got some bold predictions. We've got to talk some basketball stuff. So there's a lot to get to on this episode of Hogbeat Radio, but before we get into all of the good stuff, let's tell you about Hogbeat.com. It is Hogbeat.com, and Riley, we have our best deal of the year going on at Hogbeat.com.
Yeah, so if you want to get a full year, for new subscribers only, by the way, if you want to get a full year of Hogbeat coverage, that's football, basketball, baseball, all year round, you can get 60% off a new subscription by using code Kickoff 2024. That is KICKOFF 2024. You can go to any of our Twitters. You can see the links there. Just click on them, throw that promo code in, and you'll get a year off, 60%. Hogbeat.com, full coverage. You should go do that.
Highly recommend it. Would really appreciate it. It supports our work. We do a lot of good work on Hogbeat.com. So go check it out. A lot of good stuff up on the website today, Riley. Let's see. We got our season predictions, our seven bold predictions, which we're going to talk about here on the podcast. I'll have my full depth chart. So, like, if you want to see all this stuff, like, if you want to read it and you want to see it and you want to be hands-on and you want to ask us questions and talk to us about it, go to Hogbeat.com. We'll do all that with you. And it's a lot of fun. We got a lot of good people over there. All right, Riley. 1 week away. It's game week. Let's see. Arkansas has a practice today. So practice number 20 is today. No practice Friday. I would assume today's practice is probably going to be some sort of mock game, if I had to guess. Usually they do that the week before games. So the way I understand it is usually they just go in the stadium. They get fully dressed. They go through everything pregame. Now, I don't know how they do it differently with these season openers at War Memorial, but it's really just going through the motions. It's just a walkthrough, basically, just to let them go through that process before the first game, because that's, you know, you got to get those little things down too. Even the hog walk, like, I think they practice that too. So the little details that you got to figure out, you got to do that stuff. So no practice Friday. Then you got Saturday, Sunday practices, which all of this is closed, by the way, to the media. And then Monday you have a practice. We'll get Sam Pittman at noon. So that's really like officially going to start game week for us. It's just going to be like a sped up game week with the game on Thursday, Riley. So I'm excited. I'm not excited about going to Little Rock. It's a huge first world problem thing, right? Like, if I have to go to War Memorial Stadium to watch Arkansas football, so be it.
Yeah, I mean, we've sat through an entire offseason. It's been months without watching anything Arkansas related. I think we can handle a 3-hour drive up to Little Rock for an Arkansas football game.
Yep. Well, we have a lot to get to on today's episode, so let's just dive right into it, Riley. Do we want to start with depth chart? Is that what we want to do? Because by the time we record our next episode, we will have the official depth chart for Arkansas week one. And I feel good about my projection. I don't know if you've read through it yet. Do you want to go through it now?
Yeah, I haven't really looked at it. I did notice that I think your offense is looking pretty good. That's pretty much settled at this point. You know, as long as Patrick Kudus is healthy, which Bobby Petrino said that he's been back doing some work. He said that a couple of days ago, so we'll see on that.
Yeah, but I think I'm glad you brought that up. I'm sorry to interrupt you because we need to talk about that. When he says Kudus is back doing work, and I wanted to make sure when we were like publishing our story on it or whatever, I don't know if that specifically means he was practicing. That could have meant he was, you know, in shorts and a t-shirt running on the sideline or something. So I don't, you know, at this point in time, I feel like we should almost expect Kudus to not play and just be happy if he does. Now, we, you know, Sam Pittman, the last time we asked him about Patrick Kudus, he said, what, Monday? So it would have been this Monday or the next.
Right.
But is that him, like, coming back to being, like, a full participant at practice, or is that him being, like, ready to go for a game? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I do think that they have said multiple times that if there was a game today, whenever they said that, that nobody would really have to miss it. And I don't know if that included Kudus or not. Probably did, because he wasn't practicing. So,
and I think in either scenario, you know, you open up with UAPB, you would think that having one offensive lineman out, it shouldn't really affect the result on the field anyway. So,
no, you just don't want it to continue to be like a long-term thing. But
right,
we will monitor that situation. Anyways, yeah, I interrupted you. You were talking about my offense.
Yeah, so I think your offense is good. I would agree with everything you had. I think most people, when talking about the offense, kind of know at this point who's going to take the field. Maybe my only thing for the first team would be who you have at cornerback on defense. I think for me, I think you had Singletary as a starter.
Yeah.
I might throw in Marquise Robinson. Honestly, I'm just kind of a big Cuddy fan. He brings a lot of energy. He seems to be making plays, and just the way that the coaching staff talks about him, I think he could be a pretty big time contributor on that first team.
Yeah. Well, I put Jaheim Singletary, and before we get to the defense, I do want to just run through the offense real quick, just so listeners can get it. Taylen Green, QB, Jaquinna Jackson, running back, Luke Haz, tight end, receivers, Armstrong, Broden, Satania, been pretty consistently with that. O-line, everything looks the same. Carmona, left tackle. I did have Kudus at left guard. That's just assuming he's healthy. I would go with Marion Harris if not. Addison Nichols, center, Joshua Braun, right guard, Keyshawn Blackstock, right tackle. So all of that has been pretty consistent. But you mentioned Singletary. If you're watching on the YouTube right now, I got some practice clips playing. This is the last fastball session that we got to see media-wise. You can see on the screen Jaheim Singletary is one of the starting corners. But you mentioned Robinson. I mean, Robinson was a first-team corner for a good bit in fall camp too. So you could go either way with it. I think in my reasoning, I put my personal preference is Jaheim Singletary, but there's a few other names who could be there. I think Robinson would probably be next man up. Keon Stewart's another name. And then one of my bold predictions for later on, Selman Bridges. I think Selman Bridges could end up being a starter. I think it might take an injury, which you don't want to happen. But I think Selman Bridges could have like some sort of season similar to what Jalen Braxton had last year, which is hard to recreate because it was a really successful freshman season for Jalen Braxton. So there's my reasoning for the first team. Anything to say there? I guess we should go through the defense real quick. DNs, Landon Jackson, Nico Davier. It does seem like Anton Jukaj is like right there though.
That was going to be my only other thing was Anton Jukaj.
Linebackers, Spence and Sorry again. Like, so Sorry's probably locked in. Spence, you could probably put Steven Dix maybe or Anthony Switzer. So, nickel, Danico Slaughter, I think he's your starting nickel. Hudson Clark, Jaden Johnson at safety, and then Jalen Braxton's that last corner. TJ Metcalf might be closer to starting at safety than I thought, though. So, we'll keep an eye on that. Ready to move to second team?
I'm ready.
Okay. Do you have any qualms with my second team that you want to point out before we go through it?
So first thing that stood out, not necessarily an issue, but just something that I think we should maybe talk about. And this could depend on the opponent week in, week out, you know, where each player sits at that point of the season. But I want to have a conversation about Graylon Russell and Rashad DeBinion as that second team running back. Look, Rashad DeBinion, he's experienced. He's, you know, been here a few years. He's the only returner from last year's team in that running back room, at least only contributor. But Graylon Russell, man, I mean, the dude is just a machine on the field. You can just tell by looking at him. And, you know, I even have a bold prediction. We may or may not talk about that later, but I think he could have a big year for the Razorbacks. And at some point, I think he'll be on that second team. I could see it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, with the running back room, it's so weird. It's kind of like the running back room and the tight end room are kind of hard to really predict in a depth chart because they are there's so many different guys who bring different skill sets that are going to be used for different situations.
True.
So like Russell, for example, is obviously going to be used for more power, short yardage situations, although he can catch the ball well out of the backfield is what we've heard. I mean, DeBinion, obviously at 5'10", he's just not going to be, you know, used that same way. He'll be more of a receiving back. He's quicker than he was last year. He had a little bit of a knee flare up in fall camp. So we'll see how that, you know, goes this season. But yeah, I would be okay with Braylon Russell there. You know, even Rodney Hill, I think Rodney Hill's not getting talked about enough. And we'll get to those guys when we get further down. So Singleton is your second team quarterback for sure. I went with Ty Washington as my second team tight end. But like I said, you know, tight end's another one where, you know, Poska, I think I've been saying Pushka. I think it might be Poska. Poska, he's probably going to be blocking a lot. He'll be playing with the ones. You know, he'll probably play more snaps than maybe Varquez Gums or Ty Washington. But I went with Ty Washington because I think if you want to throw it to a tight end, he would be my second option.
Right. I think Luke Haz is, you know, the obvious clear-cut first-teamer. But then, you know, kind of like you said, after that, it seems pretty interchangeable. I mean, I think even Bobby Petrino said that Poska was really improved and will play a role in the offense. So, you know, pretty interchangeable. I do like Gums. I think Gums could be that second-team guy. It seems he's finally started to figure things out. Washington, you know, he had a good 4-game stint last season when Haz left due to injury. So I think, you know, any three of those guys could kind of make a push for that second team, but all of them are going to play this season.
All right. The second team wide receivers gets a little interesting. I went with CJ Brown, Davion Dozier, and Isaac Tislaw in the slot. I think CJ Brown playing first team like all fall camp, just he's got to be with the twos. Davion Dozier is a playmaker. He's 6'4". He makes the hard catches look easy. And Isaac Tislaw, you know, he's experienced. He's physical. He's tough. Throw him in the slot.
I think my only question there would be, you know, where does a guy like Monte Harrison fit in? You know, the staff keeps talking about him as the guy that's going to contribute. Can he slide up to that second team, maybe over a guy like Tislaw? I don't know, but you know, I mean, we're going to find out here pretty soon. I would assume Monte Harrison would see some time against UAPB.
Yeah. He'll probably catch like an 80-yard touchdown in the UAPB guys. There's going to be like some freshman DB on UAPB, and he's going to be like, what the heck is happening? Because yeah. it'll probably happen in like the second half too. And he's going to go over to the sideline, and the coach is going to be like, by the way, that guy is 29 years old.
Yeah, you'll see an 18-year-old freshman cornerback against a 29-year-old freshman wide receiver. It'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah. So second-team offensive line, left tackle, I'm going to Marion Harris. Like I said, if Kudus isn't healthy, he's probably your starting left guard. But at 6'7", dude, you probably want him as a tackle.
And ideally a tackle.
Yeah. And I was talking – I went on a Tuss Talk with Ty Hudson, good guy. Check it out. And I felt so dumb because we were talking about the offensive line and how the depth is an issue. And we were like, man, if Carmona goes down, what are you going to do at left tackle? Because in our heads the whole time we were like just penciling in a Marion Harris at left guard. Right. And we weren't even thinking about the fact that like, well, if Kudus is healthy, wouldn't a Marion Harris just play left tackle? And so we spent like 10 minutes trying to solve the problem. And then we realized, oh, it would just be a Marion Harris.
Finally clicked for you? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my second team left tackle. Second team left guard, Brooks Edmondson. He's a walk-on playing like a scholarship guy out of Bryant. Gross. Gross to Bryant, not Brooks Edmondson. Amari Wiggins, second team center. I mean, he's your backup center for sure. Anything happens to Addison Nichols, sorry. He is smaller, though. He's 6'3", so you worry a little bit about the size. Tyquese Crawford, he's got the shoulder. He had an ankle earlier in camp. I mean, it's literally now or never for Tyquese Crawford.
Now or never, man. This is the year.
So I got him as my second team right guard, and then Syracuse transfer Joe Moore as the right tackle. All right. I don't think the second team offensive line, there should be any issues. Second team defense, what we got, Riley?
So second team defense is interesting to me. I mean, this is where you're going to see the majority of those transfer linebackers. You know, if Steven Dix doesn't start, you're going to see him here. Same with Anthony Switzer. And then at safety, I'm kind of curious what the situation is with a guy like Miguel Mitchell. I do think he'll end up being a second team guy from Florida. But he did play some third team during fastball drills in fall camp. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I do, like I said, think he'll be second team. And then I'm kind of curious if or maybe both the TJ Metcalf brothers end up playing on the second team defense.
Yep. Okay, so let's go through it. You bring up some good points. We mentioned June Conch at end. Really solid there. I think Quincy Rhodes, really solid. I have him listed at 6'6". On Hogbeat, but I want to say he's 6'7". No, he's 6'6". I wrote in a story recently, he's 6'7". Oops.
Either way, I mean, he's pretty big dude. So
yeah, no, he's literally just a copy and paste of Landon Jackson. If you're talking like size, they're almost the same exact size. Obviously, right. Landon Jackson is just like more physically built because he's older. Anyways, Quincy Rhodes, D tackles, Keavy Rose, Ian Jaffrard. Worth noting, I would make Jaffrard and Danny Saili like one player. But I can't put one player at that position because I think from what we've been told, they're kind of going to be splitting that role of like the fourth D tackle. So they really have five. You mentioned Dix and Switzer. I feel like that your top four linebackers of Dix, Switzer, Spence, and Sorey is pretty solid. You like what you have there. And then you got two freshmen in Bradley Shaw and Wyatt Simmons. And then that's not even, you know, mentioning Carson Dean and Alex Sanford, who are two second-year players who were decent recruits. I watched Carson Dean play in high school, and I think he could be a great edge rusher, honestly. But maybe they've changed that since then. I don't know. Anyways, secondary. I've got Larry Worth at the nickel. I think you could maybe play him in at the safety spot. He's 6'4", so it's kind of – I mean, that's something that we've talked about is his size at the slot – corner, basically. You mentioned Metcalf and Mitchell. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say Larry Worth. I mean, going into this UAPB game, he's probably the like thing I'm most looking forward to seeing, at least defensively, just because, I mean, you don't see a guy with that size. And, you know, he had crazy measurables this offseason. You don't really see him at that nickel spot. You usually see them at linebacker. So I'm super interested to see how he works in the defense.
Yep. You know, he's listed on the roster at linebacker, weirdly enough. Not weirdly, because that's what he played at his previous spot. But they really need to switch him and Switzer because they got Switzer listed as a DB and Worth listed as a linebacker, and those are flipped. Keon Stewart, Marquise Robinson at corner. Kind of talked about that earlier. So, third team, we'll go a little quicker here just because it's the threes. I'll read it out. KJ Jackson, quarterback. I think he's a third-team quarterback.
Yes.
He's been here longer than Blake Bota, the transfer from Coastal Carolina. We talked about the running backs. I got Braylon Russell. I really think he got a solid group of four of Jaquinnon Jackson, Rashad Abinion, Braylon Russell, and Rodney Hill. And even Tyrell Reed, man.
Tyrell Reed.
Yeah. So, like, and each of those guys bring a different skill set, literally. Like, they are all different running backs. So
yeah, I mean, Petrino has he's compared Tyrell Reed to Dennis Johnson, has he not?
He's built thick. He's built in the hips. Same. You know right. What I mean? Yeah, DJ was.
We'll fun see to about watch. Playing ability.
DJ was fun to watch. Varquez Gums is my tight end. Poska, you know, I think they got four at tight end really. Somebody asked about Shamar Easter the other day. I just think he's at least a year away. Just put it that way.
I agree. He's in a weird, you know, that tweener spot right now. I think maybe another year and then he'll be ready to contribute.
Yep. Monte Harrison, Jaden Wilson, Jordan Anthony are my receivers. Sorry, Bryce Stevens.
No complaints there from me. We did see Jordan Anthony, I think we didn't see him, but based off a Twitter clip we saw, he caught a pass from Taylen Green, a touchdown pass. I think it was a touchdown pass at least. So it's a
69-yard touchdown pass.
Right. So, you know, he's pretty fast. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, I should have asked Bobby Petrino on Tuesday about Jordan Anthony because he brought him over from A&M, man. You know, he thought enough of him that, and so he could be one of the fastest players in the SEC. He is one of the fastest players in the SEC. So, like, you got to do something with that guy.
Right.
Third team O-line, Aaron Smith, shout out to Conway and Wapiscats. Tommy Varhall at left guard. He's 6'8". Tim Dawn, who was a scholarship player at Baylor for Eric Mateos, at center. Kobe Branham, scholarship freshman at right guard. And then Jonas Nance out of Shiloh Christian, a walk-on freshman. Shout out Jonas Nance. Some good things said about him through the spring. So, and then the third team defense, you got your two freshmen at the end, Kavion Henderson, Charlie Collins. I think Charlie Collins is like another freshman who maybe could play. Danny Saile, we mentioned him earlier. Caleb James is your other D tackle. He's just undersized. I mean, he's 6'4", 272 at D tackle.
Right.
I've got Alex Sanford and Bradley Shaw at linebacker. Bradley Shaw was one of my four freshmen to watch this year. We keep hearing about Bradley Shaw, man. Sam Pittman mentioned him again on Sam Pittman Live Wednesday. And then I think I want to say Travis Williams mentioned him as well.
He did. T. Will said he's going to play.
You wrote a story about Bradley Shaw.
I did. He Bradley Shaw apparently is quiet off the field, but when he's on the field, he's a very mean player. And so, you know, I mean, he was really talented, a four-star out of high school last year. I expect him, you know, just like T. Will said, I think he'll play this year.
Yep. Let's see here. Tevis Metcalf at the Hog, but I would have Tevis Metcalf probably as like my third nickel and a third team corner, honestly, like put them both. Dylan has Akari Johnson as my safeties and then Selman Bridges. And I have Aiden McCowan listed at corner, but I would put Tevis Metcalf there. I just didn't want to put his name twice.
Yeah.
So that's it, man. I know that's a lot of names. If you're listening, there's probably a lot of names that you're like, I don't know who that is. I highly, 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 highly recommend you go to hogbeat.com. I have everything written out. I have their names, their numbers, their height, weight, their year. And then after it, I have an explanation of why I did everything. So if you need to read it, go to hogbeat.com. Like we mentioned, 60% off right now. You're not going to get a better deal than that all year long. You're going to get access to all this premium content where we are breaking this stuff down. I mean, like, we're spending hours. But we're not just, like, we're not in the building game planning, but we're doing our jobs, man. We are working hard to do this stuff and bring good information to our subscribers. So check it out. I realized that the video stopped playing a minute ago if you're watching on YouTube.
So, yeah, and by the way, just to your point, that deal ends tomorrow night. So if you want to get in on a yearly subscription, get all that coverage, like Mason said, and then you're going to get coverage for an entire year. So, you know, that's basketball season. That's basketball off season, the transfer portal, baseball. You're going to get all of that in the year. So be sure to subscribe using that promo code kickoff2024.
Yep. Okay. Let's keep this thing moving along here. What did we have next?
I think next was bold predictions.
We want to go ahead and do bold predictions. Okay, let's do it. Let's start with my first bold prediction. If you're watching here on the YouTube, I got it on the screen. I am saying that Talen Green leads Arkansas in rushing touchdowns. Now, after predicting this, I started doing the numbers just like a little bit more. It's really not that bold of a prediction, to be honest with you, because he ran for 8 touchdowns 2 years ago, 9 last year at Boise State. You know, you look back at the last time Bobby Petrino really had a quarterback that can run like this. It's Lamar Jackson at Louisville. Lamar ran for 50 touchdowns in 3 years.
Yeah.
And 39 of those were in his last two seasons.
That's wild.
The Heisman year, he ran for 21 touchdowns. So I think it's not crazy to think that Talen Green can get double-digit rushing touchdowns for Arkansas this year and lead the team in rushing touchdowns because they have so many different running backs. We talked about all the running backs. That's a lot of mouths to feed, man. I think
Jaquindon Jackson would probably be
the only option, right? Or Braylon Russell maybe.
Yeah, and Jaquindon Jackson didn't light it up in terms of scoring last season at Utah. So, like you said, a lot of mouths to feed. Talen Green is going to have the ball the majority of the time anyway. So I think him leading the team in rushing touchdowns isn't too big of a reach.
Also, like, just picture the QB sneak with your 6'6 quarterback. Petrino did that a lot with Mallett. I don't know. I mean, like, I haven't watched a ton of the tape since then. But, I mean, like, Just QB sneak it with Taylen Green.
I think Arkansas fans would be happy to see some situationally relevant quarterback sneaks this season.
Yep. Okay. Riley, here is one of your bold predictions.
Oh yeah. So I put this in our bold prediction story, and I feel like when people see this, they might have a little bit of an eye roll. So I know people love, we don't love to hate on Hudson Clark, but you know, some Razorback fans, they're not a big fan of him in the secondary. Well, I think just like he did in 2020, his first season, he had a 3-interception game against Ole Miss and quarterback Matt Corral. I think he was named the Jim Thorpe Player of the Week after that game, which is a pretty big honor. I think he's going to do it again. You know, this is his final season in a Razorback uniform, former walk-on from the Dallas area. I just think he's going to end his career off with a bang. I don't know who it's going to be against. It could be against UAPB. You know, it may not be against an SEC foe. But I think he's going to have another game with at least 2 interceptions. I think it's going to happen.
Okay.
Just and you know what? And maybe a part of that is going off of how good he is in College Football 25, the video game. I mean, he is one of the best players on the defense in that secondary on the game. So if any of that translates to the actual real life field this season, I think he's going to be pretty solid for the Razorbacks.
Well, you know that everything that happens virtually always transfers to real life. So
yes,
if that's the case, Arkansas is going to win a lot of national championships. So.
And Taylen Green might be the Heisman.
Yeah, Taylen Green's definitely going to win the Heisman. All right, my next bold prediction: Landon Jackson has double-digit sacks. Now, when you hear this, you might be like, "That's not even that bold." You might not realize Arkansas has only had, I think, 6 players do this in program history, and the last one to do it was Jake Beckett in 2011. Some people might be like, Drew Sanders. Drew Sanders had 9.5, so he was almost there. Almost there. I mean, it's going to be tough. He's going to be going up against SEC offensive linemen. It's not – but I think about it, it's like – he really set his mind in that last scrimmage to go and get 3 sacks and accomplish that goal. And I wonder, like, does he have, statistic goals that he's trying to reach this year? I think that, like, he can reach whatever goals he has. Is it a statistical goal or is it a goal of winning football games? I'm sure it's a mix of both. But I don't know. I think it's possible. He had, 6.5 last year? 3.5 came in 1 game against Alabama. So – we'll
right.
see.
He seems to be on a warpath this season. I mean, he is a projected he has been projected as a first round pick in the NFL draft. I assume, you know, he's improved over the offseason from what he did last year. If he can be a little bit more consistent like he did against Alabama, I mean, Alabama's pretty good. They usually have some pretty good offensive linemen. If he can do that on a fairly, you know, more regular basis, again, I think double digit sacks is well within reach.
On the topic of Landon Jackson, ESPN's Field Yates mocked him to go number 30 to the Detroit Lions in the first round of next year's NFL draft recently. So
Detroit Lions, he'd be joining Frank Ragnow.
Frank Ragnow, I guess Dan Skipper's probably still with the Lions. I know Jerry Jacobs is with the Rams now. So Lions are a fun team, dude. I'm a Chiefs fan through and through, but my second favorite team is for sure the Lions to watch. Anyways, let's keep it on Arkansas football because I could literally just go on and on about the Lions. But your next bold prediction, Riley.
Yeah, so top 40 scoring offense. Really, you know, I say top 40, but I think what most fans would just really like to see is 30-plus points per game on average. Last season, Arkansas averaged, I think, 26.6. They were 67th in the country. Not a very good number. And, you know, that was under Dan Enos and interim offensive coordinator Kenny Guyton. I'm thinking that Bobby Petrino might be a slight upgrade in that department. And last season at Texas A&M, I believe they finished 24th in scoring offense. So, you know, does Arkansas have the same kind of talent as Texas A&M? You know, maybe not. Probably not. But I think most fans, if you told them, hey, you know, we're going to make a big jump, be a top 40 scoring offense, they would take that. And kind of to that point, you know, people have made a big deal about the helmet communications, the in-helmet communication for offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators on the sideline. Bobby Petrino, you know, will get to talk to Taylen Green for up to 15 seconds. I know, you know, Petrino said that they're still kind of working out those kinks right now, but I would assume, you know, as they get things figured out, that will be an advantage. And even Travis Williams said that because of that, he thinks scoring across college football will be up this season. So I think it's definitely possible for Arkansas to have a top 40 scoring offense. If they accomplish that, they're going to be in much better position to win some games this season.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Riley, because I do have a soundbite from Travis Williams that I thought was really interesting and worth a listen. And I wanted to throw it in the podcast because not everybody listens to the full press conferences. This was at the end of it. It's 2 minutes long, so you know, just recognize that. It's going to be Travis Williams for 2 minutes, but I think it's worth the listen.
What's your take on, like, how much time do coaching staff spend on trying to interpret what's happening over on that other sideline?
Oh, a lot. Like, it's so funny. You'll be shocked. During the week, I know offense all around the country, they're going to get the TV copy, and they're looking at the signals. Yeah, just one person. That's your only job. Look at the signals. And then, boom, oh, we can't get the defensive signals. Okay, well, let's see what the defensive players are signaling. Then they'll try to get it that way. You know, so they got different ways. I remember we played Louisville, and he was really good. And I saw the TV copy, and I could just see the whole time. He's just like this, just watching. And in halftime, they got the signals. So we played him next year. I was at UCF. We played him that next year, and I got his contact, and I called him. Like, hey, man, I need to. And he sent me the whole thing. He said, this is what we had. And it was like 80% correct. So we had to change our signals because they just pass it around. So they'll just send it to the next. So we played SMU and Rhett Lashley to them, and they had the same signals. I wasn't mad that he sent it around. I would have been mad if we didn't change it. So it's huge, like, just signals, and it's perfectly legal. I know teams right now that have two guys on the field because usually have them in the box. So, you know, at the times you see a lot of these teams behind the actual team, they pull out these big curtains behind it. If it wasn't important, they wouldn't be doing it. A lot of 80% of the teams in America, when they signal, they pull out the big curtain behind so the guys in the press box can't get them. Well, they done smarten up. They done put them on the field. So they got two guys, and they just sit here and try to get it. So you got to have ways of high in your signals, you know. So you can always know, like, when a play happened, you go, hey, man, they got our signals. It's just like the perfect play. You just know. All over college football. So that's not, man, it's nothing new. It's not one of those deals where it's like unethical or something like that. Like, they do it. You just, if you're crazy enough to keep the same signals, that's on you. So.
All right, there you go. I thought that was really good from Travis Williams. I thought that was some inside football stuff that maybe not everybody realizes, or maybe you do realize and you just don't understand how mainstream it is and how normal it is. And I mean, when I sit there and listen to it and I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking about, you know, if you're a defensive coordinator and you're having to coach your own players and recruit, and you got your family, you got your coaching staff, you got to deal with people in the building, but you're also having to worry about changing your signals so often so people don't know them, and like, how do we disguise our coverage pre-snap and then move into it post-snap? Like, that's a lot of stuff, man. That's really stressful.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Travis Williams kind of talked about, besides the sign stealing, you know, the advantages they get with the iPads on the sideline this season, and how they're going to have to make a lot more, you know, halftime adjustments throughout the game, just because, I mean, both sides of the field are going to be able to, you know, become more familiar with each other throughout a game. So it's going to be kind of an interesting year to see, you know, how that, you know, goes throughout the season. But, you know, I don't know if it's going to help Arkansas at all. We'll see. Travis Williams, you know, we're big Travis Williams fans over here at Hogbeat. Never had any issues with him.
Yep.
So, you know, I think he's going to be a pretty good, you know, be able to take advantage of this season.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So let's get into our picks to click at each position before we get into our season predictions, which I know everybody's super excited about. Some of you might have already read them on hogbeat.com, but we're going to voice them. Let's do our picks to click at each position, though, Riley, and it is brought to you by Bet Saracen. Bet Saracen, the mobile sports gambling partner of hogbeat.com and the app. It is the mobile sports gambling app for the Saracen Casino Resort. That's what I was trying to say. So download it today if you're in the state of Arkansas. You got to be in the state of Arkansas to place your bets on Bet Saracen. But if you do, and if you are in the state of Arkansas, you get access to a lot of those Arkansas-specific props, including the double R season player props, which we have talked about. You can also, right now, on Bet Saracen, you can bet over under 5.5 season wins for the Razorbacks, Riley. Over is plus 170 odds, under is minus 220. So Bet Saracen saying it's a really good chance that Arkansas loses more than 6 games is what I'm okay. I'm not good at math. I was not a math major. And then they also have the same line for 6.5. And the line for the UAPB game is currently set at 49.5. Do you think Arkansas covers, Riley McFerrin?
49.5. So this line was actually, I think, at 52.5 initially. And if you had asked me then, I would have said no. And I still kind of think it's no. I think what was my prediction? I believe I predicted Arkansas to win 49-6 or something like that. So in my opinion, like, can they cover that? Absolutely. But the last time they played UAPB, I want to say they're up like 45 zip at half. And then the final score ended up being, you know, 48-10 or something similar. So, you know, it's very possible that Sam Pittman, you know, calls off the dogs in the third and fourth quarter. I think Arkansas can cover. Do I think they will? Probably not.
So last year, Arkansas beat Western Carolina 56-13. What is that? 43. So, and then I predicted Arkansas to beat UAPB 51-10. So that would be 41, wouldn't be covering. Yeah. 49.5 is a lot, man. I do wonder, you know, like, does Bobby Petrino play a factor in this? Like, is he like, hey, let's keep the foot on the throat, but it's like, you know, it's an in-state team. You want to be a little bit nice to them. I don't know.
And I imagine they're going to want to get a lot of, you know, that second team, third team, some work. So,
yeah. Okay. Picks to click at each position. Let's get into it, Riley. Let's just knock quarterback out of the way. Taylen Green sounds good. Running back.
Sorry, I was going to go Blake Bota, but yeah, okay. No, just kidding.
Taylen Green. Austin Ledbetter.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Running back. I mean, I feel like you can't really go chalk with Jaquinnon Jackson. I know you want to take Braylon Russell. I'll take Rodney Hill. I do think that he could be a solid receiving option out of the backfield. You know, I really like Rashad DeBinion. I don't know what to expect from him this year.
He's kind of been swept under the rug, I feel, a little bit. And, you know, I've kind of been at fault of that too. You know, he could be sneaky. He could be the best running back in this backfield. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Like, he has that kind of potential.
I mean, I think back to the LSU game last year. Like, Rashad DeBinion was really good that game. You know, he was a reason that Arkansas's offense was so successful in that game. I'm pulling up the stats right now because I want to give him his flowers for what he did. 78 rushing yards on 15 carries. And did he catch any passes? He caught 3 passes for 35 yards too. So, like, I think this was when Rocket Sanders was still hurt. I want to say maybe A.J. Green had something going on this game. Because A.J. Green had 3 carries, but I want to say he got hurt. Do you remember? We were at that game.
We were at that game. I'm going to be honest, I don't remember. No, okay. That's fine.
It's really not a big deal. But DeBinion has proven in the past, like, what? He was – remember the Liberty Bowl? Like, he went off in the Liberty Bowl as a true freshman. So, I don't know. We'll see. I do think Rodney Hill, though, he's like 5'10", 176, something along the lines of that. He's a prototypical receiving back, but he's also quick. So, or 186, excuse me. All right, wide receiver. I'll let you go first.
So, this is tough. I mean, I you know, obviously the obvious answer would be Andrew Armstrong. I'm not going to go with that. So, I think I really want to pick between Isaiah Satania or Tyrone Broden. You know, you're kind of a hater of Tyrone Broden. We all know that. So I might lean him. But to be different,
I'm not a hater of Tyrone Broden, though. I mean, I need to stop you there first. So,
I'm just kidding. But just to be different, not to say one of the top three receivers, I'll say Monte Harrison. You know, I kind of believe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid that the coaches are putting out there. You know, who knows how big of a role he's going to end up having. But whenever he does play, I think you'll kind of see that his age and his experience from already being a professional player will show itself on the field. So I'm going to go with Monte Harrison.
Okay. You know, I've picked Isaiah Satania as like my dark horse, as my spring MVP, as my practice MVP, as whatever you could pick Isaiah Satania for, I've picked him. And so I just can't do it anymore until he proves it. I think he will, but I'm going to go CJ Brown, man. I'm gonna keep believing in CJ Brown, the true freshman from Bentonville. Man, I watched him in high school over and over again. I watched not because he was committed to Arkansas so much, but because he was just fun to watch, dude. He carried that team. When Arkansas lost Ashton Bethel Roman, the four-star, to Texas A&M, mm-hmm. people were kind of freaking out. And I mean, I personally felt good, and I even told people on our message board, like, hey, CJ Brown's going to be pretty good. And
It's shown itself so far.
He's been running with the ones, you know, that was kind of due to injuries to Armstrong and Broden. But I do think you can make a legit case that CJ Brown is the number four wide receiver. I don't know if that, you know, if the coaches would agree, but you could make a case for it right now. So that's just like on the totem pole, like ranking them. He would be number four, maybe.
Right.
Okay. Tight end. I gotta go, Lucas. I mean, we can.
Wow.
We can talk. Wow. We
you
can
do that.
We can talk about the other guys, but I think we should just say Lucas both and move forward.
Lucas. If I was gonna pick somebody else, I'd go Varquez Gums. I like Ty Washington, but I'm a believer in the Varquez Gums hype train.
If I had to pick someone else, I'd go Ty Washington. Offensive line. Let's just do offensive line as a whole.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Fernando Carmona Jr. They call him Junior, the transfer from San Jose State. He's going to start at left tackle. He's just been going against Landon Jackson like every day in practice, winning some, losing some. I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to hold down that blind side for Taylen Green. I think he's an incredible leader. I think he's an infectious personality in the locker room. And so I'm going to go with Fernando Carmona Jr.
Pretty good pick there. Shout out, by the way, to all the offensive linemen that we've had so far. They're all great interviews. Very infectious, like you said. For me, I'm going to go Joshua Braun, you know, the lone returning contributor from last season. He was the best piece of that offensive line last year. Not a great offensive line last year. I'm going to go Joshua Braun. My sneaky dark horse pick is Amarian Harris. I mean, he was very, very talented out of high school. Has been playing with that first team with Patrick Kudus on the sideline. You know, I think, you know, maybe he could work himself into that conversation at some point.
Okay. Let's flip to the other side of the football. Let's start with defensive tackle. And just to be interesting. No, I was going to be interesting in picking Ian Giffard, but I'm going to go Cam Ball, dude. I think Cam Ball deserves it. He doesn't get talked about a ton. You know, I think I when I think about Cam Ball, I think about in fall camp, they were doing this drill. It's kind of weird to explain, but basically they had two defensive tackles on one side, and one was behind the other, and he was like helping push that guy, and there was another guy on the other side. And so it was two against one, basically. Two pushing mm-hmm. with all their strength against one. And Cam Ball was going up against Kivi Rose and Ian Giffard, and like, you know, pushed both of them back pretty good. And Kivi Rose was like, dang, bro. And it's a really small, short thing, but it stood out to me that, like, he's even surprising his own teammates in individual drills with his strength. So,
yeah. And to be different from you, I do agree. I would probably say Cam Ball, but I'm going to go with Eric Gregory. Been very consistent every year he's been here. I think he could be in due for a big, you know, final season. Maybe I think Armand Watts, he had a kind of a big final season at Arkansas after being, you know, maybe somewhat under the rug the former few years. Will Eric Gregory be that level? Probably not, but I think he'll be good. He'll be serviceable. And just to kind of talk about the defensive tackle room, I mean, people have been talking about how impressive they've been all offseason, especially in fall camp. So Cam Ball, Eric Gregory, an underrated, sneaky, dark horse 1-2 punch in the SEC, in my opinion.
Okay. Defensive end, you know, don't want to go with Landon Jackson here, obviously, for obvious reasons. I'm going to go with Quincy Rhodes, man. And I don't know how much he's going to produce this year, maybe statistically, but he's a force on the edge. We talked about his size. I think he has the want to, and that's worth something. You can tell that he's a hard worker and that he's grown a lot since he got here. And so I'm going to go with Quincy Rhodes.
For me, I feel like when people think about the top 1-2 at defensive end, most people will probably say Landon Jackson and Anton Junkaz, just because he was the, you know, one of the highlight transfers this offseason. People like to talk about new players. But I'm not going to go with either of them. I'm going to say Nico Davie. You know, he kind of flashed a little bit last season. He had his moments. I think he could end up being the starter. Like, you know, you have him listed on the first team. I think he could be and be a consistent first team producer for Arkansas this season.
Okay. Linebacker, I am going to go with Brad Spence. I think Brad Spence as a redshirt, or I guess he's just a sophomore, true sophomore. Dude, he's jacked. He looks like a legit SEC linebacker. He plays like a legit SEC linebacker. I remember thinking in the spring, I mean, Brad Spence put together some practices there in the spring where I wrote about him like every day, and I was like, Brad Spence again. Like, he was, you know, picking off passes. He's an edge rusher. He says he's a pass rusher at heart. You know, you could make an argument that he's a starter. You know, we talked about the four that are really interchangeable, but I like Brad Spence, man. And he's just a second-year player too, so that's encouraging.
Yeah, you kind of stole my pick there, stole my flow, so I won't go with Spence. But, you know, I feel like a lot of people, including us, we've really only talked about guys like Anthony Switzer, Steven Diggs, Larry Worth, kind of in that linebacker room. We haven't really talked a whole lot about Xavier Sory, who's going to be a first-team defensive player from Georgia. You know, a lot of people, whenever he committed, kind of compared him to Drew Sanders. I don't think he's going to be a Drew Sanders type. You don't really get those very often in the SEC. But I think he's going to be a consistent producer. He's going to help replace guys like Jaheim Thomas and Chris Poupall Jr. that Arkansas lost this offseason. I think he's going to be a nice, consistent, you know what you're going to get every day kind of player for the Razorbacks.
All right, last but not least, the secondary. This is a tough one. Do you know who you're going to go with? Because there's
so we're doing secondary as a whole?
Yeah. I feel like we should just do secondary as a whole.
I know who I'm going to go with. I'm not going to go Jalen Braxton. I'm going Marquise Robinson.
Okay.
I love his energy. I think he's going to be a pretty good player.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to go Jalen Braxton either. Maybe I'll go Danico Slaughter, man. The transfer from Tennessee, I think he's been pretty consistent. You know, I've never really watched him and been like, man, Slaughter just got burned, or Slaughter's really struggling right now. Like, I've never felt that way with him. Obviously, haven't seen him in a live game yet, and he's probably going to play in the nickel spot. So we'll see how it goes, man. But I'll take Danico Slaughter. I think that he's been consistent, and you haven't had a ton of that maybe in the secondary, aside from some of the returning guys like Jaden Johnson and Jalen Braxton. So, all right. I guess we should talk about, real quick, special teams. Devin Bale is going to be the kickoff specialist, so that's who's going to be doing kickoffs. He's also going to be your punter, place kicker. There's still a battle going on between Kyle Ramsey and Matthew Shipley. Ramsey from Abilene Christian, Shipley from Hawaii. Shipley's probably got the edge there. What else? Long snapper. They're going to have different snappers for kicks and punts. I can't remember which one Pittman said it was. It's Eli Stein for one, Ashton No for the other.
So I know you're probably going to go with a kicker or punter. Give me Eli Stein all the way. I mean, he's been named to, like, long snapper award watch list, hasn't he? I couldn't be totally making that up.
No, he was. He was named to some watch list. But, okay. We also didn't mention return man. It's probably going to be Isaiah Satania. I mean, it is going to be Isaiah Satania. I'll go with Devin Bale. I think he's good, dude. I think I watched him practice, and there's a pretty clear number one punter on this football team, and it's Devin Bale. Just put it that way. We'll see if he's a gamer, unlike Max Fletcher was. And that's no offense to Max Fletcher, but I mean, come on, dude. He was not a gamer. He just wasn't.
Yeah.
So. All right, let's move to our season predictions, Riley. This is what everybody wants. This is what everybody wants to hear us talk about. What are the experts, the people who know everything about Arkansas football. The people who, like, everything that comes out of their mouth is truth, and it's not something that's not going to happen, if you know what I mean. Like, our predictions are going to be 100%
This is guaranteed.
Accurate. Yes, it's guaranteed. So, Riley, you are down on the Hogs, man. Where's your optimism?
So we're just going to go as a whole. We're not going to go game by game or anything like that?
Dude, if we went game by game, we'd be
here. Take too long.
And also, we're going to sound like idiots trying to talk about the other teams.
True. All right, so yeah, down on the Hogs. I don't know if I necessarily – I mean, I guess technically, you know, if you look at all of our records, then yes, I am. But, I mean, going into fall camp, my kind of mindset for the record prediction was anywhere between 4-8 and 7-5, you know, best case, worst case scenario. I think after fall camp, that's maybe been adjusted from maybe to 4-8 to 8-4. I still think 4-8 is absolutely possible in a worst case scenario. Again, worst case scenario, but I think best case, they could win 8 games. Do I think they're going to win 8? No. Honestly, you know, I'm not going to spoil your pick. I do kind of think what you picked can very easily happen. But, you know, last season, I was an optimist. Last year, I predicted 9-3. Okay. I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm going with 5-7. You know, that Oklahoma State game week 2 is pivotal. If they can win that game, I think this season could play out completely differently from how I picked it. But, you know, I'm thinking 3 non-conference wins, not Oklahoma State, and 2 SEC wins. I believe I picked LSU and who else did I pick? Oh, man, I can't remember. I know I picked LSU as a win. So, you know, finally getting that LSU win in the column for Arkansas.
You picked LSU.
Shout out Mississippi State.
Daniel picked Ole Miss to beat Arkansas. I mean, Daniel Fair from hogbeat.com, check him out. He picked the Hogs to go 8-4. So I don't know what he was smoking when he was doing this. So I had him going 6-6. And, you know, I've kind of been preaching that I think the Texas A&M game is more of a pivotal game this year than the Oklahoma State game. But then when I got to the end of the year and I was looking at it, there was something that made me think the Oklahoma State game was more pivotal. I don't remember what it was. What was it? I think it's just because of how hard the SEC schedule is, right? Because if you want to win 6 games, because it's going to be really hard to win just three games in on this SEC schedule. So that means you got to win your 4 non-conference, right? If you lose the Oklahoma State game, then you assuming you beat UAPB, UAB, and Louisiana Tech. Those are 3 bad teams. Louisiana Tech's been bad, by the way. I'm the one who did like the research on Louisiana Tech. They've been bad. Shout out Zach Zimos, though, former Arkansas. He was a defensive back here. Now he's like a starting linebacker for Louisiana Tech. Anyways, so say they win those 3 easy ones and lose to Oklahoma State, then you have to get 3 SEC wins. So that's why I might change my mind and be like the Oklahoma State game is probably more important than the A&M game, because I'd rather win my 4 non-conference and only have to win 2 conference to get bowl eligible than have to win 3 in the conference.
Right. And, you know, kind of going off what you said, I wrote in my prediction – you know, it wasn't that long ago, I think it was 2016, that Arkansas went on the road and beat a ranked TCU, Big 12 team, on the road. That's a hostile environment. They did that with Austin Allen, Brett Bielema. That was a crazy double overtime game. Do I think, you know, it'll play out the same way against Oklahoma State? You know, we'll have to find out. But if Arkansas can get that win, get some early season momentum before, you know, facing Auburn and Texas A&M, that tough, you know, midseason SEC stretch, like I said, I mean, you never know. I think a bowl game is definitely within reach. Maybe 7 wins, 8 wins. We'll see.
Yeah. So, you know, interestingly enough, after like all of that, I still have them going 6-6 and losing to Oklahoma State. Now, it's going to take winning one of those SEC games that maybe you don't think they should. So I have what I have.
You have Tennessee, right?
I have them beating Tennessee at home. I think that's probably your most winnable home conference game, right?
The fact that could be considered your easiest home conference game, I think says a lot. I mean, that offense is going to be really good. And by that point, you know, that former five-star quarterback, Nico, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name.
I got it. He should be kind of settled in. Iyamayava.
Iyamayava. There we go. Again, I'm not going to try to pronounce that, but
Iyamayava.
you'll get it eventually. Hopefully by that week you'll have it. But you know, Tennessee's coming off a bye week before that too. So the fact that that is your easiest home game, that says a lot to me. So that one's going to be tough in my opinion.
You know, you might have something cooking there with Arkansas beating LSU. If I could go back and redo it, I might flip and have them losing to Tennessee and beating LSU. It's still 6-6. I have them losing the LSU game. LSU's offensive line, man. I mean, their offensive line is so good. We know that, you know, Kyron Lacy is going to be a good wide receiver. Garrett Nussmeier's waited his time. The defense, they got a new defensive coordinator. They returned plenty of talent. Harold Perkins, like LSU, it might be better than Tennessee. I don't know.
Yeah, and just kind of an interesting tidbit. I'm pretty sure that when Arkansas went on the road and beat LSU in Baton Rouge off of a Cam Little walk-off kick, Garrett Nussmeier did play in that game, at least a little bit. So
yeah, but he was like a true freshman that year, wasn't he?
Yeah, it doesn't really mean anything, but if you're just going off of – maybe you're a superstitious type of person, you know, maybe that means something to you. I just think, you know, Arkansas has a lot. This game has been decided by 3 points how many years in a row now?
I don't know.
It's a few now. It's a few now. I think it's going to happen again. I just think Arkansas will be on the good side of that.
Okay. Well, so I got them going 6-6. You got them going 5-7. Man, so I think we talked about on the last episode, like how many wins does it take? That's the number that everybody's talking about. That's what everybody wants to know. I got roasted online for saying 5-7. I think I'm changing it to 6-6. Even then, like, we'll see. I don't know. I think what's so exciting for us specifically, I know for Arkansas fans this year just doesn't seem super exciting to think about. But for us, we're at least going to figure out what happens. Like, we've been spending literally since we figured out Pittman was for sure coming back, because that was not guaranteed after last year. We've been spending this whole time being like, well, next year is a big year for Sam Pittman. And here we are on the doorsteps of next year. We're a week away from kickoff, and I'm just ready to find out what happens.
Right. This is a decisive year. You know, the program went all in on the hype train, getting Bobby Petrino. I feel like from a fan perspective. Wait, hold on.
Bobby Petrino's back? I didn't know that happened.
Bobby Petrino is back. Yes.
At confirmed. Arkansas?
We've seen him at practice at Arkansas. I know. You know, it wasn't that long ago that people were freaking out about that. And now it's just kind of become a little, you know, it's become normalized, I guess, which is a weird thing to think about. But with Bobby Petrino, you know, fans are expecting some wins, you know, after a 4-8 year. So, you know, we'll see what kind of pressure that brings to Sam Pittman. I'm thinking, you know, 5-7. I don't know if that's going to be enough. 6-6. I kind of agree with you. 6-6, a bowl game. You know, especially with Bobby Petrino, maybe they get, you know, with 6 wins, they get some recruiting momentum. That'll probably be enough for another year. But kind of going off what you said, a decisive campaign coming up from Arkansas, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, let's talk some basketball real quick before we wrap up this episode of Hogbeat Radio. So the SEC schedule for John Calipari's first year as the head coach of the Arkansas men's basketball team has been released, and the biggest game of the college basketball season will be on February 1st at Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, when John Calipari makes his return as the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks.
And we are going to be at that game. So very, very exciting time. Going to be awesome. You know, I suspect that Arkansas won't be quite as bad as they were last year, so that game will have some hype to it. But just some quick thoughts on that SEC schedule. I think the opening is pretty tough. You know, you open at Tennessee, and then you come back home against an Ole Miss team that is led by Chris Beard. They had a good transfer portal run this offseason. But the finished SEC play might be one of the easiest they've had in recent years. They finish at South Carolina, at Vanderbilt, and versus Mississippi State. Arguably, those three teams might be some of the worst in the SEC this season. So tough start, really good finish. That should carry some momentum in a postseason play. And then again, they only have one game versus Alabama this season. I think that's happened the last few years. But, you know, as a whole, Arkansas should be pretty good. I suspect they're going to have some success against this SEC schedule.
If you look at the schedule and check it out on hogbeat.com, literally the whole thing is there with explanation on everything if you need to read it. If you look at the schedule, there's a few games that have two different dates for it. The midweek designations and tip-off times and TV information will be released at a later date. So it's kind of like maybe the kickoff windows for football. Not the same exactly, but they're trying to allow it to where they can move stuff around, I guess, based on matchups and how good specific teams are. What is the best matchup for TV? So, all right. And last thing, I guess, for basketball. No, two more things for basketball. So, one, the game against Michigan at Madison Square Garden on December 10th in the Jimmy V Classic is official. It'll be on ESPN at 8 p.m. on that Tuesday evening. So, I don't think I'm going to be making the trip to New York, but I'll be watching, and it'll be cool, man.
It's going to be a fun game.
All right. Last thing, what was it? Matt Norlander of CBS Sports put out this report saying Arkansas has – or no, he polled, what, 100 coaches?
And right. He polled some coaches on who they think has the best NIL situation. So it's just what they think, not necessarily what they know.
Okay. And what, it was like an overwhelming majority, number one, Arkansas?
Arkansas appeared on 73.7% of ballots submitted. Just to kind of tell you that the gap between first and second, Kansas had 43.2%. And, you know, Kansas had a really good portal offseason under Bill Self. I feel like Arkansas and Kansas are probably neck and neck. But, you know, we've all heard about John Tyson, you know, Calipari, he's an ultimate marketer of his program. I want to say a Walmart representative came to a practice this offseason. I feel like they posted something about that.
The CEO of Walmart.
The CEO, yeah. Yeah, the CEO. So, you know, that's pretty big time. You know, who knows if or how much NIL is coming from where, but you know, it's not too surprising based off the Calipari hire, based off, you know, how much people have talked about the NIL situation, that coaches think that they're number one in that area.
Do you think John Calipari and Arkansas men's basketball are getting money from the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund?
I do not, but apparently, according to a story, Colorado dipped its toe in that market outside the country. So
that's wild, dude. Check it out. Sports Illustrated, I think. So, yes. All right, I think that'll wrap it up, man. Next time we talk, we will be previewing Arkansas versus Pine Bluff. So don't freak out. Don't be like, well, you post these episodes on Thursday, I'm not gonna have time to listen to it. We'll put it out on Wednesday for you, for our tens of listeners. Just kidding. We actually have we're actually getting better numbers on these than I thought for a show, not a podcast. It's a show, not a podcast.
Yes.
That we are not really advertising at all. So
true.
Thank you to everybody who's actually listening. We really appreciate it. We feel like we bring good information. I know that Riley is just like really not good on the mic.
I'm getting better. I'm improving. We're getting there.
Yeah. So we will we'll keep practicing with Riley. We're gonna put him back in the closet for the week. Let him, you know, just do some practice, do his homework, and then next Wednesday we're gonna be talking Arkansas. And Pine Bluff.
Things get serious.
Yeah, we're gonna have the real information too. I'm excited to have like the real depth chart.
No more projecting.
No projecting. We're gonna have like a real press conference with Sam Pittman. No more like it's still gonna be glazing is not the right word, but like sunshine pumping his team. Because like glazing is kind of that's what fall camp has been. Like, let's just glaze up the entire team. And now it's game week. I know it's UAPB, but like, let's get into the nitty gritty. Why does your offensive line suck? Now, I don't think the offensive line sucks, but we'll see. What if they go out against UAPB? And now I'm just riffing. What if they go out against UAPB and give up like six sacks?
Oh man. I mean, the pitchforks will be coming out in full force on social media. It'd be not great for the Arkansas football program. It would be fairly entertaining for us as social media, you know, workers, I guess.
I don't even think it would be entertaining, because then we would just get blown up online about, you guys said all fall camp that this offensive line was going to be fine.
Yeah, we would kind of receive the brunt of that for us as well.
We did not say that. That was the coaches, and we just wrote their words in quotations.
Let's just hope for Sam Pittman's sake and our sake that that does not happen, and the offensive line has a smooth, easy day in Little Rock.
Okay. All right, man. Sounds good. I think we wrap this puppy up right here. You good with that?
Let's do it.
You got any week zero picks, by the way?
Week zero picks? I haven't really looked at it enough. I think what's the first game? It's Florida State, Georgia Tech, right? That's a conference matchup too. And that's I think that's overseas that they're playing that. So no conference picks yet, unfortunately. I will say next week when we talk about this, I will have some picks in mind, because that's a bigger opening weekend of games. So be on the lookout for that. But, man, I'm so excited for college football. It's back, finally.
If you want to watch a game with Arkansas ties, SMU at Nevada, 7 p.m.
There you go. Rhett Lashley.
Network. Rhett Lashley. The Fighting Rhett Lashleys with Paris Patterson, Tank Booker, and Andrew Chambly on that team. So, all right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Hogbeat Radio. Check out hogbeat.com. Last chance to get in on our 60% off deal. Runs out Friday night, so get in on that. You will not regret it. It's literally your first year, a year of Hogbeat for 60% off. You want to be in on that, because that year is going to include all of football season, all of basketball season, and all of baseball season, and then you'll be right back here at this time next year when we're going to be running more deals.
Right. So, it is literally the perfect time to get in.
It is.
So if you're going to do it now.
Yes. So check us out. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will talk.